Let me read to you while you stand, if you can stand it. Verse 3 out of the book of Revelation. How many have read the book of Revelation? Praise God. You need to get in this book. Why? Because it says in verse 3, "Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Yes. The time is at hand. But then when you turn over to chapter 5, it says, "And I saw," this is John speaking, "and I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" And then you drop down to verse 6. It says, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and twenty elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." You think your prayers don't avail? Prayers of the saints, they reach the throne, people. Verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. And thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.' And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." People, we need to have this eternity mindset among us, within us. We need to understand our eternity. We need to understand the power in the name of Jesus, the power that was given to him and he gave unto us. He gave his name unto us. He shed his blood for us. And we need to walk in that power. The power of the name of Jesus. Amen? Well, glory be to God. Why don't y'all just greet somebody today and tell them how much you love them and you believe in good things for them today? You ain't got to slobber all over them, but you can greet them and say hi. I'm tired of being bound. I am tired of being dictated and told that I am not allowed to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. I'm tired of it, church. I'm tired of it. I mean, listen, I want to... I'm telling you. I watched a documentary last night about the civil rights movement, and it was talking about the Freedom Riders. and it really, man, I'm telling you, it convicted me in this way, and let me explain. To see the level of commitment and faithfulness and drive and just utter sold-outness of those people that participated in the freedom. And if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, this was during the civil rights movement when a group of black and white, students, and not all students, but various people from different occupations, would get on buses and ride down to the Deep South where there was still segregation and still a lot of stuff going on. But what really impressed me was their... So this is what they said. Someone had interviewed some of them and said, look, you're going into trouble. Why would you do that? Why, you know, you could get hurt. You could, God forbid, some of you get killed. And they said, and it was Nash. I forget her first name. She was the representative of this group that was going down there. She said, sir, she's a student, college student, talking to a high-level United States official that represented the president directly and the AG, his brother. But she said, sir, last night we all signed our last will and testament, understanding that we are ready to give up our life for this cause. And that just flew all over me. And I'm like, man, here we are in this pandemic, and you got churches that are shuttered and shut down and not even coming together as the body of Christ, as we're called to do, to not forsake the assembling together of ourselves. And you got churches all over this land shut down. And then I saw, and I have not researched this statistic, but I saw something that said that the total number of deaths in the United States is no higher than it has been the previous 2 years in this country. So I'm thinking to myself, what in the world is going on? And I'm just, this is, I'm telling you, I don't, it's demonic. It is being used of the devil. And the body of Christ is cowering to it. No resistance. No resistance like those freedom riders that got on that bus knowing that they could lose their life that day. No resistance. And we have stood by for how many ever months it has been, and just cowered and just folded our hands and said, oh, well, it'll be over soon. They're saying another 2 weeks. It'll just be 2 weeks and we'll be able to go back to life as normal. Oh, just two more. No, no, we got to do it a little bit longer. 2 weeks has turned into 8 months. And I'm not belittling that there is something out there that is, it is dangerous. I'm not saying that. I'm just, what has, is it enough to put the levels of control that have been put on, and I'm just speaking the church here in specifics. I'm not even talking about businesses that have lost their way to make income and individuals and what it's done to them, and not even talking about our students and our young people, how it's affected their minds not being able to go about their daily lives and enjoy school like they, you know, have all done and wanted to, and sports and losing all of that. For years and 2 years it's been this. They lost it last year. They're losing it this year. I'm telling you, we don't know the reprobation that is going to happen if we don't do something about it. Come on, we got to do something about this. And there are people, little pockets all over this land that are rising up. And I see people standing. John MacArthur, you may not agree with everything he preaches and teaches, but he's taking a stand. And they're trying to just, they are trying to squash him. And so it's just time, body of Christ, we've got to stand up. We've got to speak out. We've got to do it. And listen, I can't speak for you. I can't say this is what you need to do. But like those freedom riders, I'm at the point where if it costs me my life, I need to do something. There's too much happening and too much being suppressed and lives that are being taken. And like I said, we don't know the repercussions of what is happening to our young people because of this. And I think we've stood by for too long, and I'm not saying I have the answer. I'm just saying I think it's time. You know, I was talking to Gene, and when this whole thing started, I believe it was scriptural, and I even shared a scripture saying we should, submit to the authorities, those that are in authority over us, and And we did that, and we shuttered this church, and I believe God blessed it in another way by getting us online and reaching out in that direction, and He used it, which He will. He'll use anything that will promote His kingdom. He'll use a heathen president, a heathen king, to deliver His people. He'll use anyone in any manner and mean that He has to do that. And I believe He's done that with the church in some regards in this time frame. But we have sat by idly and not stood up. And again, I think in the beginning it was right. But now it has gotten to a point where it's just not right. It's just not right. It's just not right.
It's just
not right. We operate in this country under a constitution that provides us the pursuit. We can pursue after life, liberty, and happiness. And I see that being taken away. And I don't see, and again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, I'm not an epidemiologist, but I don't see the science overwhelmingly saying this is what we need to continue to do. I don't see it. It's just not right. And I, for one, have had enough. And I, for one, am not going to cower just because we're on social media and try to placate and say the right things and be all PC. No, I've got to say what the Lord has placed in my heart, because that is whom I serve. I don't serve man. I serve the God of the universe, and when He places something in my heart to speak, I have to speak it. I have to be obedient. Because I have eternity in mind, and I want Him to say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You spoke what I gave you. You shared what I sent in your heart." And so that is where I am. Again, I don't know where you are. I pray the Holy Spirit will minister to you. And I believe it's time to say enough is enough. It's just not right. Amen. I didn't intend to share this morning, but I'm telling you, something has to happen. Something has to change. Something has to break. Men and women's hearts are failing them for fear, unwarranted fear. Unwarranted fear. When something can't be explained, people don't understand something, that fear rises up inside of them. But the word I read is that He's not given us that spirit of fear. We have power. Church, we have power on the inside of us. We have love, love that conquers all. No matter what divides us, love can conquer that. And He's given you a sound mind. Don't let your mind be tormented. That's not of God. Don't let your mind be going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That's a double-minded man. You can't waver, you can't falter. You have a sound mind. So where do we go from here, church? Where are you at individually? Where are we at as a church? As a body of believers? What are we standing for? How are we acting on that? Are we going to sit here and just be hearers of it, or are we going to be doers? And what does that look like? These are the questions that I have and that I put before my God. And I know that the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of me, and He leads me and guides me into the truth, and that the truth will prevail, and I know that. And I pray that for each and every one of you, that the truth will prevail in your life. That you will constantly renew your mind to the washing of the water of the Word. I believe the time is now. I don't believe we can wait. Because the longer we wait, the more souls go to perdition. The longer we wait, the weaker we get. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If we could see the tenacity, the faithfulness, the commitment level that I saw on those Freedom Riders in that documentary, in the body of Christ, I'm telling you, that movement changed things in this country. If we could do that in the body of Christ, just imagine. Just imagine. Just let your thoughts imagine what could happen. Listen, we're not holding out for a man to save us. We're not holding out for an election to change our lives. We need to be speaking it forth now in what we understand in the Word. We have the power to change our atmosphere with our words, our faith, what we believe, our revelation of who we are in Christ. The power of that name. The power in the name of Jesus. Amen? I've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit and how they apply in this day. And we talked about the word of wisdom last week, and I was going to talk about the word of knowledge this week. Well, I believe that was a word of knowledge that just came forth. I'll continue to say this as long as the Holy Spirit prompts me to live soberly with eternity in view. We need to have eternity in view. Because when you have eternity in view, it doesn't negate what's going on around you, but it minimizes the distractions that are happening around you. And when you have eternity in view, I believe you're prepared to give your life for something. I am not fearful of death. Are there things I want to do and see? Yes. Yes. But I'm not fearful of it. I was praying the other day, Lord Jesus, come. Just come quickly. But we need to be not fearful of death. And death is the, oh man, it's the thing that causes so much fear in so many people. And that translates into other fears. I mean, people won't go out of their house. They won't fly on planes. They won't get in a car. They won't speak to someone out of fear. They won't sit next to someone in Waffle House and have a conversation out of fear. Because you're going to breathe on them or spit your eggs on them. Because they're fearful that they're going to die from something called COVID-19. It's not a death sentence. They've taken life, liberty, and happiness from us. Can't even have a conversation over a couple of eggs. My land. What is happening, people? All the more reason why we need to better understand who we are in Christ. All the more reason why we need to operate in these gifts that have been given to us in these days. You think you need wisdom? You need wisdom now. You think you need an understanding through knowledge? You need it now. You think you need discernment of spirits? You need it now. And we ain't even got into the power gifts. Kind of want to go there now. So, I don't know. So, where are you at? Let that be a question that rises up within you on a regular basis from now on. Where are you at? Where do you stand? Knowledge. Specifically, a word of knowledge. It's one of the nine gifts. We talked about that, right? Nine gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. For what? For edification, for good, and for profit. We need to understand these gifts and operate in them so that we can be successfully operating in the things of God. In this time, I'm telling you, it's for this time. And a word of knowledge is important because it gives us understanding. That word knowledge is a Greek word gnosis. And in context of 2 Corinthians 12, it's referring to a knowing gleaned from firsthand experience. In this case, firsthand experience with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's His gift. He's given it to us. It's not something someone else told you, rather that inner knowing. I like to say it's like a nudging of the Holy Spirit. It's a knowing for you personally. Last week we talked about a word of wisdom. Words of wisdom come typically to edify someone else. Words of knowledge come to edify ourselves, to give us understanding in an area. Let's just look at a scriptural example here in Acts 10. Everybody turn if you have your word with you today. Acts 10. Let me just read. For time's sake, Can we bring the lights up? I can't even see that clock back there. Please. Don't worry about the clock. I like that attitude. Let me just read this out of the King James. I'm going to start in verse 1. I think I'm going to read down to 20, but because I want to give you the whole picture here, what's going on. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave him much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms have come up before me, a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtst to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now, Peter's in Joppa. And Peter, it's the next day. It says on the morrow. For y'all King James English speaking people, that's tomorrow. That's the next day. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and they drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon a housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, and it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. This is the vision that he gets where, you know, he says, Rise, kill and eat. And he says, No, sir, it's unclean. I can't do that. But let's drop down to 17. It says, Now, while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. This is a perfect example of two words of knowledge given to two different men at two different times about the same thing. Two different visions. We like to call that double vision. One person got it. That's all right. So we see the Holy Spirit encouraging Cornelius in a vision to send for Peter and encouraging Peter to go to Cornelius' house. Both these words of knowledge came in a vision, right? Two separate visions at two separate times to two separate people about the same event. They were both encouraged to do something out of their comfort zone. Words of knowledge can come and encourage us to do something out of our comfort zone. Why do I say it was out of their comfort zone? Jews and Gentiles did not mix company then. In fact, Jews were not even allowed to eat with Gentiles. And that's the part of the vision that I didn't read to you about that Peter had when the animals came down in the sheet and, you know, the voice said, Rise, kill and eat. And he said, No, I can't eat anything that is unclean. Well, those unclean animals were representing the Gentiles, and he was showing him, and through a word of knowledge in that vision, that he wants him to go to the Gentiles, which were unclean, to the Jews. This is where God talks about not being a respecter of persons, right? How many have we use that all the time, don't we? I'm going to be a little bit bold here. I believe we use that phrase, we don't use it correctly a lot of the times. In the sense that we say, oh, God did it for someone else, he'll do it for you. He's no respecter of persons. In this context, what they're talking about, they're talking about Jews and Gentiles. They're talking about those that have relationship with God and those that don't. And the Jews thought they were the chosen race. They were the only ones that could have relationship with the God of the universe, right? But he's telling him, here, Peter, he's telling him that, no, the Gentiles, all men, in fact, it says all men who fear God and believe can have relationship with God. That is the no respect. It's not, oh, God bless that person with a new house, he'll bless me with a new house. That's not the way it works. In fact, there's another scripture that says, what you do for someone else, God is required to do for you. So it's kind of a little different there, but we kind of take that, I believe, out of context, but that's just my contention. You can reason with God and search it out in the Word and tell me if I'm incorrect. At another time, not right now. Amen. So, it says that all men that fear God and believe are acceptable. That's what he's talking about. He's no respecter of persons. Just because you're a Gentile doesn't mean you cannot have relationship with me. So this word of knowledge that came to these two men, how did it benefit the world, really? Well, because now it was understood by the Jewish nation that they were not the only ones. That all men could have a relationship with God. And this was a word that came that was uncomfortable to them at this time because they just didn't mingle. And it's the same with us, right? This word, these words of knowledge that come to us, they often will stretch us. How? Well, they may come in a form of having us say something, just like this morning. I did not intend to get up here and say all of that. I was hesitant, and it was a little out of my comfort zone. You know me well enough. I don't do that every Sunday. Word of knowledge may cause you to believe for something big, say something bold, give away something that you deeply cherish. Some words of knowledge, I believe, also require a gift of faith, which we're going to talk about under the power gifts. But if you're going to believe for something, sometimes you have to have a gift of faith to believe for that thing. Right? But out of Peter and Cornelius' obedience came the revelation of God to all men. Not just God of the Jews. God of all men. And again, when those words come, when that word came, you've got to be obedient. That word could have came to me this morning and I could have said, no, thank you. No, no, no. No, no, no. We're on social media and a lot of people watch this. I've got to be politically correct and I don't want to shake anybody up. And no, you've got to be obedient. When a word of knowledge comes, we cannot be hearers of the word only. We must be doers of the word. Must be doers. Acts 18, let me give you another example. Acts 18, let me read verse 8. And let me mess with you a little bit. Teresa, let's do Amplify. Verse 8, chapter 18 says, but Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed that Jesus is the Messiah and acknowledged him with joyful trust as Savior and Lord, together with his entire household and many of the Corinthians who listened to Paul also believed and were baptized. And one night the Lord said to Paul in a vision, have no fear, but speak and do not keep silent. Oh my goodness, that'll preach. Right now, listify. Lord, I speak up for you. Lord, I stand up for you. Have no fear, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you. Who? The God of the universe is with you. For I have many people in this city, So he settled down among them for a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. Paul had to be encouraged by this word of knowledge to stand up and speak boldly. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, so I'm told. Had to be encouraged with the word of knowledge to stand up and be bold. Why did he have to be bold? Again, Jews weren't supposed to mingle with Gentiles. He was at Corinth. But the Lord encouraged him and said, I have many people here. Remember, we said in the beginning, words of knowledge edify the hearer. And these gifts are for good and for profit. But it doesn't, listen, it doesn't profit us one bit or anyone else if we hear a word from the Lord and we're not obedient and a doer of it. It doesn't profit you. It doesn't profit the person that you're supposed to be impacting with that word. It doesn't impact a nation if we just sit by idly and be quiet and silent and just go about our day in fear. What if Peter, after seeing that vision, I mean, it said he was hungry, he was waiting for lunch. What if Peter, after seeing that vision, said, man, my stomach is growling. I got to get down to that table and eat some food. Forget about that. Well, the Lord said the rocks will cry out if they won't praise Him. So I'm sure the Lord would have done it some other way. But He chose to use Peter in that moment to basically spread the revelation that God is for all men, not just the Jewish nation. So what if God is speaking to you to share something with someone else that could change their life forever? But yet you don't share that. You stay silent out of fear for what they'll think of you. What they'll say about you. If they'll talk about you to their friends. Now you're either for them or for against them. You're either for them or against them. You're either for them or against them. The time is now. The time is now. Let me give you a modern day example of what I believe were words of knowledge on that horrible day that we refer to as 9/11. There have been many testimonies of people that woke up that day and had a knowing just not to go into work that day in the towers. They had a knowing not to get on that plane that day, and their lives were spared. But how many, oh my God, how many got that same word but ignored it and went on their way? How important is it for us to have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and then act on it, be obedient to act on it? How important can it be? It can save a life. It can save your life. It may save someone else's life. But it has to be that knowing. It has to be a knowing. That word gnosis, it's like a deep inside, almost conviction. Strong conviction. That knowing. That knowing that you know that you know that you know. And I just keep going back to our salvation experience. And I know everyone's salvation experience, I'm sure, is different. I can only speak from my experience. And that day, that moment, in that instant, I knew that I knew that I knew that it was real, and that it was mine, and nothing can take that away from me. That's the knowing we're talking about. Well, how do we know? How can we really know? The simple answer that I have, and the only answer that I have right now, is we've got to be in fellowship with the one who does know. We've got to be in intimate fellowship with the one who does know. We have to spend more time communing with the Father, conversing with Him through the Holy Spirit. Chances are, I believe, that He's been giving us these words all along. If you're born again, you have relationship, you have full access. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. I believe you have access to all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you have access to these words of knowledge. And I believe that He's been downloading them to us all the time. But we just haven't been sensitive in hearing them. And if we have heard them at times, we have been disobedient and haven't obeyed and haven't followed through with what we've heard. Why? Because we question things, right? Because we doubt. Because why? These words of knowledge may push us out of our comfort zone. And then, therefore, we let doubt creep in. And once it gets that foot in the door, the enemy will use it. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He'll creep in if we just give him a crack. And that's why the Word says we got to cast down those thoughts immediately. Cast them down. Vain imaginations. Chances are we've been hearing these words your entire Christian walk. And I think as Christians, we, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular, in general, I think we tend to pride ourselves on the ones that we do answer, and they're the easy ones, right? They're the easy ones that fit right within our little comfort zone, our little box that we like to stay in. But once we hear something that's out of that comfort zone, boy, that's tough. But I believe those are the ones that bring the most power, the most change. You think them freedom riders wanted to give up their life? They were young students in college. You think they wanted to entertain the possibility that they would lose their life that day? Or in the days to come? Do you think they wanted to be beaten with rods and bats? And what's amazing to me, as I was watching that, the first group that went down, and one of the buses was torched and inflamed, and then the other bus, there was two buses that went that first trip, and the second bus was the one that they were trying to protect, and they got out of, I believe, Alabama into Mississippi, and it went haywire after that. But people were beaten bloody, I mean, to the point of death. And what is amazing to me is it didn't stop there. You know, the ones that could, it said the ones that could wanted to get back on and keep going. And then when they couldn't, there were other groups organizing to come down right behind them. And it just, a flood, you know, I'm telling you, it only takes one. It only takes one to stand up, and it gives others courage to do the same thing. Think about that. As a Christian, It may just take you standing up to rally people around you and to change things over this place. Is it you? Is it you? We cannot be fearful. But we must know that we know that we know that what we're doing is right. And when we know that, the consequences don't matter. Because we have an eternity in view. We are eternity minded. So where do we go from here, church? Once you've heard something, you are responsible for it. You can either reject it or accept it. If you accept it, you can either act on it or not act on it. So I put it before you this day. And I just say, choose life. And liberty. And the pursuit of happiness. Amen.